Aquila. Yeah, that's
go to your room.
Just go to your room, man.
Just all anybody who's old enough, who's young enough to be my son, has no business listening to this show. Go to bed.
No, don't say that.
What?
Lose all our cool people.
That's true.
I would just be stuck with a bunch of old people like us.
Joel dorks. We just insulted. We just insulted everybody. Yes,
you're awesome.
Right, give me five.
Ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. People radio on demand. It's all right.
Just leave it.
But it's falling over.
Just leave it. Let it fall over. It's not going to hurt
that
anything.
That was 100 years ago. When
did y'all talk over the entire intro?
That was the intro. That was from an old show.
Or was it?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yes.
I was like, what's going on? Why are you people yelling at me specifically?
Go to bed.
No.
Were you being yelled at for being old or young? Old or young? Old or young?
Young.
He doesn't even get that reference.
I know.
He was 12.
Oh. I know. And it's actually old or new? Old or new?
It's from Friends. It's from Friends.
Okay. I never liked that show.
It's because you were 12.
No.
It was still on when I was a teenager and when it was popular with the rest of my friends.
Oh, okay. You just didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's not.
I had standards.
It's not kids friendly.
Right.
So there's kids friendly and then there's faith friendly.
What's that?
Oh.
Faith friendly means no spookiness, no creepiness.
No, I don't. Oh.
She is just like you're sensitive to the sexual nature of shows. Mm-hmm. She's sensitive to the creepy thing in shows. She doesn't like creepy.
No.
I'll go with that.
Are you watching Alcatraz?
Me? No. What is that?
It's a
what?
New, it's a
you're
new
not watching
show.
Alcatraz?
You actually would like that. It's very Lost-esque.
I didn't like Lost.
You're really not a geek. You think you are, but you're not.
No, you don't. You're failing.
I'm not an ideologue, okay?
Anyway.
I don't subscribe to the little boxes that you try to put me in, man.
Hey, back off, man. I'm not trying to force you in a box.
Don't force your opinions of sci-fi technology and
geekdom
on me, man.
Hey, did you
I'm
see
my
the,
own geek.
Did you guys see the guy who turned his apartment into the command center of Next Generation?
Didn't care for that show either.
Did you see that?
No.
It was on the news.
No.
I'm ignoring him. No, really.
No, this is true.
Wow.
Yeah.
That took some money and
it's a little scary. And then his wife divorced him. Yeah, thank
you.
Of course.
And wow. then she sold the apartment out from under him.
Oh no.
Anyway, what was I saying? Alcatraz. Yeah, so this last episode, this guy had this thing, what was that thing? What did they use it for? Cattle something? What was
yeah,
that?
It was a cattle
was
killer. It was a cattle killer. You know, the bolt that goes into your brain.
Oh dear, what?
Yeah, exactly.
It shoots a bolt out with air. It shoots a bolt out and shoots it, and so instead of wasting bullets killing cows, they basically use a thing that pushes a bolt out and it's
horrid. Anyway, this
guy. Am I not describing this well?
The guy came back from 1963. He goes to rob a bank. He does this on this guy's forehead. It's horrible. He used him to like open the
safety
deposit
boxes.
Yeah. And he used it for the whole entire show. I was like, really? I did not like that. I didn't like it at all.
I didn't even understand it because those things use. They have to have a hydraulic pump that he's got to pull around with him. And
it's a TV show. What
he's got to air up for a while.
I don't know.
It doesn't work.
It looked like it came from 1963 too. Scary. Anyway, but that's not the point. The point is that I don't like creepy stuff, and that show borders on almost.
Well, it's
too
the,
creepy for
the
me.
The premise of the show is that in 1963, the people who were left on Alcatraz did not
actually get transferred.
Didn't get transferred off. They disappeared. Including the guards and everybody.
But now they're coming back.
And now they're coming back.
And they're killing people.
And they have
of course.
And Hurley from Lost, he got off the island, apparently the only one who didn't go to purgatory. And and he is solving the crimes.
Well, he's not Hurley. It's the same actor.
Whatever.
But
same
he's
guy.
He's a guy who has like a PhD in criminology.
Oh, there you go.
But he owns a comic book store.
But he writes a comic book and owns a comic book store and he writes a comic book and that's he's sort of a freak.
He wrote
a book about Alcatraz.
Well, several books.
So the FBI agent looked him up, and
I don't know. It's a pretty cool show, actually.
Actually, it is.
Okay.
But that one bordered on creepy.
Anything with Harley in it's good.
Yeah, but I don't like horror. No horror. Ugh. No, thank you. No. Don't need to be scared on purpose.
She drives a cool car. So the point of all this was that so faith friendly means no creepiness.
I hate horror movies.
I'll go with you on that.
Children of the Corn. No.
No, I won't do horror movies either.
Cry. Yeah.
I'll go with you on that.
I hate horror movies.
He's going with you.
Thank you.
Going with you. Yep. I also have a limit for awkwardness.
I can
only barely watch The Office sometimes.
Yes, because you can't. It's hard to watch. You're like, I can't watch. I can't. I gotta look away.
The Office pushes it a little far for me, but I do like Parks and Recreation, which is the same people who did The Office,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same format, but it's not quite as bad as
not
The Office.
Not quite as awkward.
Yeah, it's a little less on the awkward.
There's some
side.
Friends episodes that were so awkward. I if I watched the reruns, I'd fast forward through them.
Yeah, I didn't like the ones where Rachel got on her high horse.
She had a horse?
Yeah.
She had a high horse.
She put it in that apartment, too, you know.
Did the horse know that marijuana was illegal?
Actually, it was a dog.
Why was the dog called
Again,
a horse?
He did.
And he was high on OxyContin, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't make any difference.
All right, okay. So moving right along.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
Moving right along, I would like to talk about the big pray big for this week.
Okay.
A little pray big message for this week is that we need to understand that there is a greater understanding than ours. Lean not unto your own understanding. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make a path straight.
So when you're praying big this week, because we have a big God, mm-hmm. pray big prayers. And in that, you don't have to understand everything. You know, it's so a lot of times in my prayer life, basically this prayer big thing is just a personal devotion to myself. in my prayer life, a lot of times I get lost in, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. You know, please make it clear to me what you're doing, or you know, mm-hmm. You know, why is this happening, Lord? I don't understand this. And a lot of times, that's small prayer thinking. You know,
sure.
There is a greater understanding. He is in control. I need to let it go and just praise him and pray bigger than that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Makes sense to me, and that's all that really matters.
We've all figured that out a long time ago.
Kidge!
Yes?
I got a good question for you.
Okay.
Which is bigger?
Mm-hmm.
5 gig or unlimited?
Let's see. 5 gig or unlimited.
If somebody was going to sell you something, which one would come in a bigger box?
Now, are we talking gigabytes or gigabits?
Gigabytes.
Or gigawatts?
I don't even know what a gigawatt is. Don't you jig my watt, buddy.
There are no gigawatts.
Don't
anyway,
jig my watt.
I would say...
Is that what happens when the toilet won't stop running? You got to go gigawatt it?
Yes. Which I have done that. I have fixed both toilets in my house
by myself. You are a true homeowner.
That's not really fixing. You do know that, right?
What?
By shaking the handle, it didn't really fix anything.
No. Like, I literally opened up the bowl and, like, took out a screwdriver and started adjusting stuff inside the bowl.
Really? Awesome.
Brad fixed one of them up at school until he could get up there to fix it for real with a one of those zip ties.
No, it's fixed for real.
Oh, it's fixed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, a zip tie fixed it.
That zip tie will last longer than the rest of the toilet.
Nice.
Gotta like that.
By the way, kids, yes, if you are a homeowner, you need to go. But here's the three things you need: a pair of vice grips.
Okay.
What do you call those things? The tub. It's like a Tupperware big thing, but it's Ziplocs. Different sizes of Ziplocs.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Zip ties.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Not a Ziploc bag.
Zip ties.
I love zip ties.
Yes. So you need a bunch of those.
Uh huh.
You need some duct tape.
Uh huh.
Got some duct tape.
What was the fourth thing?
A rubber mallet. WD-40.
A rubber mallet.
I have a rubber mallet, too. You need to have a rubber mallet. It's very important.
I don't
and
use my rubber mallet that often, actually.
I do.
Oh. Well, there you go.
And a little baby
explains,
level.
Explains a lot, a
little
actually.
Baby level.
That's the female needs that to make sure her pictures are level.
That's right. You need a baby level and a big level.
Yeah, well, you don't need a level.
I do. You think you don't, but you do.
Sure. Can I use my phone?
Your phone is a level.
If it has a level app, yes you may. Brad has used his as a level app.
Awesome.
Yes. All right, so back to my original story.
So what? You didn't answer.
I'm going to say that 5 gigabytes is greater than eternity.
You would be right.
And he said he wasn't a geek.
So I got an email this week.
Thanks, Doxson.
I'm not going to mention any names, but I got an email. It was a text message this week from AT&T. I'm not going to mention any names. From my wireless carrier, saying that I was approaching the 5% of the highest users warning.
What?
Yeah,
that's kind of what I said too. It said, "Warning, you are approaching the 5% highest users threshold on your data plan."
What does that even mean?
I think I deleted it because I was so mad. So I don't have it here.
Yes.
Nope,
anyway,
don't have it. Mm-hmm. So
seriously, what does that mean?
Well, AT&T has a policy.
Oh, he's going to tell you.
Don't worry. I'll tell you.
Okay. Good. AT&T, I was worried there.
AT&T has a policy because they don't offer an unlimited plan anymore.
No.
We're grandfathered in.
But I'm grandfathered in. Because I got my plan before they did away with the unlimited plan.
Uh-huh.
So I have an unlimited plan. But they have a policy that if you're the top 5% of data users, they will throttle your data.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So technically they can still say it's unlimited. They're just going to throttle you if you're the top 5%.
Of course.
Because they consider you to be abusers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know this. And I got this warning, and I was almost proud of it. Because I'm thinking, of all the people in the United States, I'm in the top 5% of data users. Woohoo! I made it! There can't be a lot of us, right? I mean, you know, this is a select few of people. Somebody knows my name.
He's going to have some kind of disease or something from this.
My twits count. People pay attention when I talk. So, I mean, my clout rating should go up, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, the problem is that on Saturday, we headed to Dallas, and my data stopped working on my phone. I could not.
And you know what happens when he doesn't have data, and we're shopping.
He throws something.
Well, things come to a screeching halt, because what am I going to do while she's shopping?
Right.
I mean, he'd be bored.
I can't talk to Facebook. I can't post pictures. I'm disconnected from the world.
Mm-hmm. He might have to pay attention in the moment he's in.
Heaven forbid.
Don't you get on your high horse over there. Just as bad with your Pinterest. So anyway.
I just started Pinterest, and I haven't even been on it since April left.
So anyway, I was there, and my data stopped working altogether. So I called AT&T. And I got this very nice lady, and I said, I'm not, you know, what's going on? I said, I got this message saying you're going to throttle my data, but, you know, because I was one of these top 5%ers or whatever, and I said, but my data is not throttled. It's not working. I'm getting connection error. I'm getting timeout on whatever I try to do. I can't look stuff up, and it is important because when we're shopping, I look stuff up to see what's available at other places or what's this cost online? You know, can I get this online? So, I mean, I use it, you know, and this is crapping my style. And I made sure I used Faith Phone to make sure it wasn't like where I was at or anything like that. And,
we don't have to worry about me using too much data.
No. So I call them and I tell them what was going on, and she goes, yes, let me tell you about our policy. Our policy is that when we have this, she proceeds basically to explain what I explained to you, except in nicer terms.
Sure.
And I said, yeah, but it's not throttled. It's off. And she says, well, some of your apps may not perform properly with the throttled data speed. I said, so you've essentially turned me off, which is not what you said you're going to do. I have an unlimited plan, which means I have unlimited data.
Right.
You can't turn it off. Well, it's not turned off. It's just throttled. And I said, but I can't get any data on my phone. So if Safari times out, if Facebook times out, if Twitter times out, I'm getting no data. There's no data here, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And so And she says, well, hold on just a second. You know, and she sends me a text. She says, and I said, did you get that text? And I said, yes, I got that text. And she goes, okay, well, then you're connected to the network. And I said, yes, I know I'm connected to the network. I got the little bar that says 3G up there in the corner, but it ain't 3G I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, I'd rather you charge me more money than turn my data off. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
She goes, well, you could move to a 5 gigabyte plan, and then you would never have to worry about this again. And I'm like, okay, fine. I said, how much is the 5 gigabyte plan? Well, it's $20 more than I'm paying now.
Uh-huh. For just your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's $20 more for 5 gigabytes than it is for unlimited data.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense to anybody? Is anybody paying attention? Shouldn't the unlimited plan be the most expensive?
Of course.
Well, how much does it cost if I go over 5 gigabytes? Well, it's $10 for every gigabyte over that. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, well, how much data did I use this month? And I'm thinking, you know, I got to figure out how much this is going to cost me, because it's a normal month. If I use 7 gigabytes, then that's you know, that's the $50 for the plan and then $10 after that. So it's a $70 plan, really.
Sure.
She says, you used 4.2 gigabytes. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You're telling me that 4.2 gigabytes is in the top 5% of people in this entire country? She goes, no. It's just people in your area.
Okay.
I said, because I live in Sulphur Springs, Texas, in the middle of Hickville, I'm being punished because I use the amount of data that a person in Dallas normally uses. I'm like, that's ridiculous. You can't punish me because I live with a bunch of hicks.
Seriously.
That's a good point.
And she said,
you don't live with hicks.
I meant data-wise. I don't mean socially.
Okay. Right.
I meant data hicks.
Data hicks.
Data hicks.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, that is just ridiculous. And she goes, well, I understand, sir. I'm sorry, but that is a problem. Like, you've got to be. I'm not mad at you, but you need to pass on the word that I am very unpleased with this situation. Unlimited is less than your 5 gigabytes data plan. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You should have a limit on your unlimited throttling. In other words, if it's 5%, but it's still under 5 gig, you shouldn't throttle me.
Yeah.
What if I'm the only person in Silver Springs with a phone? It doesn't matter how much data I use. I'm always going to be in the top 5%.
Uh-huh.
There's probably only 12 of us here.
Please.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
I don't either.
Anyway, I was very upset. With her, with things,
with her specifically,
and I'm
no with them. I wasn't upset with her at all.
No, I wasn't with her specifically. She was very nice, and I was nice to her.
And he did essentially hang up the phone, or he didn't hang up on her, but he said, "I'll have to think about it. Thank you."
I didn't do the 5 gigabyte plan.
He didn't do anything. But she did reset. She did reset it.
She did reset my data
because you were almost to the end anyway.
I was almost to the end of the billing cycle, so she reset my data. So
no
anyway,
no more Netflix for you.
So I was just thinking about the fact that I was glad that AT&T doesn't run heaven.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it says in the Bible, you know, you have, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life.
Right.
All right. But if it's AT&T, then you might be out in 5 years, depending on, you know, how many people in your area.
That's true. Also have eternal life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are also using life.
Right.
How much life are they using?
I'm sorry, sir. I know it says eternal, but we're going to throttle your eternal life. Mm-hmm. We're only going to give you this much life. You can just lay there and do nothing, okay?
Dave suggests that you turn on your Wi-Fi when you're at home.
Yes,
I do that.
He remembers
but
to do it sometimes.
I'm a data hog because I drive back and forth to Dallas, and when I do, I usually watch Netflix.
He doesn't. Please don't say it like that. Don't watch Netflix while you're driving.
Okay, I listen to Netflix while I drive.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
I listen to podcasts. Well, I actually listen to podcasts
menace.
In the morning when I remember to download them. If I don't remember to download them, then I stream podcasts in the morning on the way to work. And so we use this stuff. And then on my way home, I stream Netflix. And I don't know if that's what's doing it or if it's just the fact that I forget. Because when I'm gone, I turn my Wi-Fi off so it doesn't use my battery. And then when I get home, then I forget to turn it on. But I've been better about remembering to turn it on.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
80 years of life.
Or Dave, or whoever said that.
Dave, thank you, Dave. Yes.
Dave.
Mm-hmm. Now, can we talk about this life as a journey business?
Can we also talk about the phrase, do life together?
I haven't heard that one. Who says
you
that?
You haven't heard that?
Do life. Let's do life together. Let's,
yeah, like we just want to do life together.
Can't do life.
Exactly. You can't do life.
Well, you can do life. It's called Sam Quentin.
Did you say Sam?
Sam yes. Quentin. Sam Quentin.
The phrase do life
together. Isn't that
together
what it is? Isn't that where it's at? Always,
San.
The prison.
San.
Oh.
You mean it's not Sam?
I thought it was Sam.
Sam Quentin.
Who's San? That's not even a good name. Who would call their kid Sam?
Seriously.
Quentin. They named the prison after a guy named Sam?
Oh, he's got serious disease.
What you talking about? We need to Wikipedia that. I think it's Sam.
You think it's Sam? Okay, yeah. Check that out. Would you, kids? Check that out.
I'm working kidding on it.
Sam Quentin.
Anyway, so do life together. Where have you seen this?
I hear it at like, I don't know if it's like a Dallasite, you know, hey, we're a really cool sort of church thing. Like, we're hip. I mean, we're down. We all have Twitter and Facebook, and we're on YouTube.
We're in the 5%.
Exactly. I don't know if it's like that side of we're cool Christianity sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just that phrase itself is just like my it's one of my greatest pet peeves there. I know that at my church, a couple people have said it. The my next door neighbors are pastors, and they say it. And just a lot of the whole, hey, you know, we're really cool. We just want to reach out and kind of tell you about how awesome Christ is. And it's all like, we just want to do life together. And it drives me insane because you don't do life. You live life. And yes, I understand do is a more action-oriented thing. And more.
Let's do lunch and then we'll decide about life.
Yeah, sure. Sure. But no, you live life.
Do lunch, do life. You have lunch, you have life. You live life. Okay? Mm-hmm. You don't do life.
Yeah.
Unless you've killed somebody.
Yeah.
Then you go to Sam Quentin.
That's right.
She takes such pleasure in my mistakes.
I don't. It's you just don't. You have a disease. You have a disease.
See?
She you doesn't. Just have a disease.
Brian in the chat room says that his church uses the phrase do life together for their small groups.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's generally what it's used for, to kind of be like, yeah, you know, we want to be a part of each other's lives is what they really want. We want, you know, the church to be everyone in the church is living together, and we're not just separating ourselves from each other between Sundays. That's generally what the idea behind do life together is. But
well, this whole,
so you're okay with the idea, you just don't like the saying.
Yeah
Well, this whole thing drives me crazy. Okay, now I was reading a book the other day, Dennis McCallum. It's called The Death of Truth, and he was making this point. He was actually referencing another book, but he was making this point that postmodernism substitutes perception for truth, and they make no distinction there. So, it's prevalent in the philosophy, whether you're a postmodernist or not, because you'll say
people don't even know what postmodernism is.
This room is hot. Well, you're making an objective statement about something that's actually subjective. You can say this room, it feels hot in here.
Feels hot to me.
Or I'm hot. You know, I'm hot. I feel hot. But to say that the room is hot means you're making a reality statement for everybody in that room.
True.
And you're substituting the word "is," you know, for that truth, that object. In other words, your perception becomes the truth for you. It's your truth, and so anyway, that was his kind of his point, and which jumped me to my pet peeve, which is life is a journey, you know, and I see it on inspirational posters and
it's on everything in every home decor store.
Life is a journey. And there's usually a poem that follows about, you know, and you know, it started with I took the road less traveled by, you know, that whole thing. But see, that was a metaphor. And I'm okay with metaphors or allegories or whatever. So if you say life is like a journey, okay. What's your comparisons there? What do you like to say? Well, you start, you know, here and you travel. That's fine. But don't say life is a journey, because it's not. Life is a life. Why are you giggling over there?
Oh, because just this stuff bugs you.
Drives me nutty.
Because he spends so much time worrying about it, and it just doesn't matter.
It matters because this stupid philosophy, which is based in...
I'm not saying that the philosophy doesn't matter.
It's penetrating our lives and changing the way we think.
I understand.
And affecting our churches and affecting how we present the gospel. The gospel was written in a pre-modern era where...
Error. You see it? Oh. Sorry.
It's like, you know, I just start, you know, like the wind beneath my wings. She's the one below the wind shooting the arrows. So, error.
No, I did
you
it.
You did it.
That's what I get. Oh, that's funny.
Where truth was revealed in absolute. And now we have changed
in an era.
And instead of presenting the gospel the way it has always been presented, or presenting the gospel, it doesn't mean using the same words of this and thouth and you must do thiseth, you know. But I mean, you can present it to the culture in which you're encountering.
Right, exactly, kids.
But Paul did not change the gospel message. He only changed the way it was presented. And I feel like that this philosophy has gone so far as to actually, the churches now are changing the gospel message. And I just think it's wrong. We don't do life. Okay, eternal life is knowing God.
All right.
Yes.
Then. We don't do life together.
Right.
You got your life. I got my life. We'll leave it that way. All right.
Sure. If when they intersect, they will intersect.
When they intersect, we'll have lunch. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have a nice supper and we'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't have to call it doing life together.
Exactly.
Right. If you want to, now if we get chained together and we start digging a ditch with the man with a rifle and mirror sunglasses watching us,
then you're doing life together.
Then we can say we're doing life together. Okay.
There you go. I like that. I am down with that.
Are you going to be on a journey then too?
Yeah. Holy cow.
A journey to Sam Quentin.
A journey to Sam Quentin.
Me and Sam Quentin chained together. And a journey of doing life.
I hear
Johnny Cash. Hang on.
Wait, Johnny Cash has a song.
I hear Johnny Cash.
About it. Called Postmodernism Sucks, and I'm Going to Kill You. That's what it's called.
Johnny Cash wrote that. It actually sounds like a song you'd write.
He said, I killed a postmodernist just to watch him die. It's one of the lyrics.
Can't just get you know Johnny Cash's lyrics to even appreciate any of this.
Sure he does. Yeah. He knows Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash is.
He doesn't have any idea. He doesn't know the lyrics.
He watched
my
the
appreciation
movie?
For country music is only fledgling at best.
You need to look into Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash is not country music. Johnny Cash is American music. You need to look into it if you're an American. Do you consider yourself an American and a patriot?
Oh boy, here we go.
I am a Christian.
It's part of your journey.
I'm a citizen of heaven.
Oh, good Lord.
It's part of your journey.
He Jesus juked me right here on the show.
He did, right there.
I love that term. Of all the new terms I hate, I like that one.
Thank you. I didn't come up with it. I'm just clarifying.
I was in apologetics class today, and I was telling the kids, I said, whose righteousness do we put on? And they were like, oh, God, you know, and they're like, that's right, Jesus is Christ. They thought that was hilarious. They thought that was funny.
That's awesome.
It's always funny when I mess up. People think it's funny.
It's your thing.
It's my thing.
It's your shtick.
It's my shtick.
Oh, hey.
Hey, yes.
Do we have any voicemails?
We do. We have quite a few voicemails, but we're not going to do them now.
I was going to ask.
We're going to end the show. And continue our journey another time.
We're going to end the show. There's going to be some spousal abuse. And then we're going to start a new show with all of your wonderful calls. Now, somebody last week called while we were doing calls.
Okay. Uh-huh. Can you do that?
You can do that.
Yes.
But I didn't realize what they had done.
Oh.
And so I didn't hit refresh on the page to see the new call.
Oh, okay.
We could have played the call the same time we got the call.
Wow.
Which would have been really cool. So yes. If you're
if
you're listening live and you would like to call in and have your call heard tonight while you listen live, you may do so. The number is 224-225-9297 Or if you're listening to this later and you want to call in, then you can hear your call later, like next week.
But it's still the same phone number.
Unless he forgets to post the show and then...
Right. 224-225-9297. Okay. Good. Good? Are we good now?
Good.
Good. Okay, good. Vios con Dios, everybody.
Vios con Dios.
Two Blind Squirrels is a proud member of My Life Ministries, a community of believers that views the everyday Christian life as a ministry and seeks to encourage Christians in their daily walk with Christ. For more information, please visit mylifeministries.org.